better than that. Don't predicate the Lord. If you brought a praise, give it to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of your Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Come on, you can say that with me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power, the Holy Ghost. Come on, say that with me as you stand to your feet.
Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me.
Fall on me.
Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Certainly we greet you in the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ of God, the one who's above all and all is beneath him. We thank God for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for these deacon brethren who have devoted our hearts to the worship and word of God. Certainly to these preachers, Reverend Gilchrist, Reverend Foster, Reverend McCoy, and to the musicians, minister of music, to this praise team that blessed us in song, to the Environmental Safety Committee, and to all of you, my father's children. It's just good for us to be alive and know it. Amen. God has blessed us beyond our prayers and beyond enumeration. And certainly it is a great day to be in the house of the Lord once again. Amen. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We have made it to the last month of the year. Amen. 2020. God is faithful. And he has preserved us. He has kept us and he is keeping us. And certainly we owe God praise. Amen. For only God could have brought us and kept us. And certainly I'm glad about it. Amen. Could have been dead sleeping in my grave. The Lord allowed my golden moments to roll on a little while longer. Amen. Certainly, I'm glad about it. Amen. Acts chapter 10, our preaching will come from verses 33 through 43. But I want to just read one verse, and that's verse 36. For the emphasis of our sermon title or preaching assignment today, we're still talking about Jesus ... And I want us to know him and to see him clearer. Certainly we are living in tumultuous times, turbulent times, but Jesus is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it is imperative for us to know him and to see him in Scripture. Amen. And to have him in our hearts. Amen. So Jesus ... Verse 36 said, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, parenthesis, he is Lord of all." I want to talk about Jesus, Lord of all nations. Jesus is Lord of all nations. Say that with me, if you will. Jesus is Lord of all nations. My brothers and sisters, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, simply because it reveals that God's free gift of salvation is offered to everyone. God desires to save everyone from sin and sin's consequences. For the consequences of sin is death and separation from God. God wants everyone saved. Let me say that again. God wants everyone saved. He wants everyone to live eternally with him. He wants everyone to have life and to have it more abundantly. Therefore, God is patient. That's good news for us, because God gives us time to be saved. He's patient. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He is patient, therefore we perish not." Oh God, he's patient. He's long suffering. God is patient. He gives us a succession of time to hear the gospel preached so that we can be saved. Aren't you glad God is patient? That God did not call your number when you were in the world? When you were going from place to place, dancing under the lights, aren't you glad God is patient? When you were living your life outside of God's will, God was patient with you to give you time to hear some preacher tell you that one Friday he died. Sunday morning he got up and rose with all power, heaven and earth in his hand, and your heart was pricked by the power of the gospel, and you came running down the aisle and gave your life to Christ, because God is patient. He's patient. He gives us time. The Lord's delay is a blessing. It is an opportunity to proclaim the gospel far and wide so that the Holy Spirit can work through the preaching of the gospel to bring more lost souls into the kingdom of God. This morning, I want to explore this a little more on the basis of Peter preaching to Cornelius and the people that was in his house. Peter's preaching to Cornelius was an answer to Cornelius' prayer for salvation. If you back up in chapter 10, Cornelius was in his house and he was praying that God will save him. And while he was praying, God was preparing Peter with a sermon so Peter would come to the house of Cornelius and preach to Cornelius and everyone that was in his house. While Cornelius was praying, God was preparing. God was preparing a preacher while Cornelius was praying. Listen, that's a word for somebody, because somebody been praying for not only yourself to be saved, but you've been praying for somebody else to be saved. And I came to tell you today that while you are praying, God is preparing a preacher and a preacher word so that that person you are praying for will receive the gospel and be saved. He was praying in his house. And while he was praying for salvation, God was preparing Peter. Peter went upon his house at the sixth hour of the day. And while he was praying, God had to prepare him, put him in a trance. And he brought down from heaven above a sheep with unclean animals. And he said to Peter, slay and eat. And Peter said, Lord, I've not eaten anything that's uncommon and unclean. And God had to confront him, because it's not right to call unclean and uncommon what God has cleaned. What he was doing was working on Peter's heart, because it was a picture that was more than about the food that was on the sheep. It was about the people that God had assigned Peter to preach to. Because the Gentiles were considered unclean and uncommon. Jews and Gentiles did not get along, and Peter being a Jew, Cornelius a Gentile, but God was getting ready to send him to Cornelius' house. He had a word for Cornelius. See, we don't have the right to determine who God shares his word with. We don't have a right to prejudge and try to say to God who can and who can't be saved. God had to prepare Peter's heart with the message. And after he prepared Peter's heart with the message and with the power of the Holy Spirit, he sent him to Cornelius's house. And here's the message of Christ. Peter began to preach. He says, I truly understand that God does not have favorites. In other words, God does not show favoritism. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears God and acts rightly is acceptable to him. He sent the word to the children of Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all nations. God's word is to every nation. God has no favors. Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God does not play favoritism. He doesn't have favors among people. God had to deal with Peter and condition his heart for Peter to understand that God loved the Gentiles just as he loved the Jews. And I'm glad about it, because I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. And I thank God that he loves me just like he loves them. Aren't you glad that God loves them, him, you, just like he loves them, that he sent his son not only to die for them, but he also sent his son to die for you. Aren't you glad God thought enough of you and thinks enough of you to send his son for the whosoever will? All of us are, we qualify, we are classified as a whosoever will. We are not Jews, but we are Gentiles. And I thank God that his word is to every nation. He doesn't play favorites among people. In verse 28, Peter said to the people that were in Cornelius' house, you know how that it is an all awful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God. This is a good but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or uncommon. You better be careful how you label people. You better be careful how you put your mouth on people. You never know the people you looking down on, you may one day have to look up to. You don't know what you are saying, because you can't judge a person by what they are and who they are now. God has something in store for them, and God is able to pick them up and turn them around and put their feet on solid ground. God is able to do exceeding abundant above all we could ever ask or think. In the life of people, you better be careful who you call common and who you call unclean. God can take a nobody and make a nobody into somebody who will tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. You looking at one right now. I was a nobody, but God picked me up, turned my life around. Is there anybody in here can be a witness? You were on your way to a devil's hell. You know you didn't qualify to be up in here praising the Lord's name. But thanks be to God that one day he stopped by your address and changed your life. And your life has never and will never be the same in Jesus' name. Don't you call uncommon and unclean folks, because you never know what God wants to do. Peter had to be conditioned because he was lawful, and he had recalled what Jesus said in Matthew's, don't go to the Greeks. But now his assignment was to go to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, and preach the gospel. So God's word is to every nation. He told them to be his witnesses. In Jerusalem, that's home. In Judea, that's down the street. In Samaria, that's across town. But then he says, uttermost parts. I can remember some years ago, senior pastor said to me, he said, son, do you believe in the Great Commission? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, really? I said, yes, I do. I believe in the Great Commission. He said, well, do you have a passport? I said, no, sir, I don't. He says, well, you don't believe in it. I said, well, why do you say that? He said, well, if you believe in it, you will have yourself together and be conditioned. So when God gets ready to send you somewhere, you can go and won't anything restrict you from going. I said, well, I believe in it. Matter of fact, I'll go and get one tomorrow. The next day, I woke up and went and got a passport, because I believe God's word is to all nations. His word is to all nations. The gospel, the good word of God. God's word is the good news of peace to every nation. The gospel, the euangelion, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is for every nation, and it produces peace and reconciliation between all nations and God. It's a word of peace. God wants peace with you. God does not want to be in conflict with you. God wants to be in peace with you. Oh, you remember the angels when the men were out in the field tending their flock. The angels said unto them, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people of goodwill. Peace, that's good news. Peace with God is good news. The peace of God is good news. Reconciliation, settlement, relationship, resolution is good news. Salvation is good news. Jesus is good news. Oh, every time you hear his name, it ought to sound like music to your ears. It ought to be a rhythm that get in your feet and a snapping in your fingers. It's good news. And listen, I love to hear the news. I can't hear his name called enough. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Whenever I hear of the word Jesus or the name Jesus, whenever I think about what he has done for me, that's good news. It's good news of peace to every nation. But then Peter said, Jesus is Lord of all nations. Jesus is not just Lord of the Jews, but he's Lord of all people. That's why the Bible said he's King of kings and Lord of lords. My God, here it is, the message to all nations, but then the ministry of Jesus Christ. Acts 10, 37 and 38, you yourselves know what happened through all Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism which John preached. You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. You know how he was about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Peter, he reminds them of the goodness of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus. He says, you remember. In other words, they had some evidence. The Gentiles had heard of Jesus' miracles prior to believing in him. Here it is, Peter said, you have heard what Jesus had done. For Jesus had healed a woman's daughter. And she wasn't a Jew. And evidently the word got out. Jesus had healed others who were not Jews. And the word got out. And here it is, Jesus. Peter reminds him of Jesus doing good. But not only did they have prior knowledge, but notice the virtues of Jesus revealed by Peter to the Gentiles. He says, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. He takes them to the baptism of Jesus when John saw him coming as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when he got down in the water with John, the Bible says that when John dipped him and brought him back up, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And he heard the voice of God say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And if you remember, after he was baptized and the Spirit descended down upon him, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. My brothers and sisters, I thank God that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and power. For Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath
anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Peter preached that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power to the Jews in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. He says, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. And you yourselves also know Jesus was anointed." He had the authority of God upon his life. He had the power of heaven in his life. And when he went about, when he opened his mouth, you can hear the anointing of God and the power of God upon his life. And through his words, he preached. Listen, preaching is nothing without the anointing of God. Preaching is nothing without the power of God. I can stand up here all I want, but if the anointing don't come and if the power don't come, I'm just up here uttering empty words. But when God show up, when God come in the house, and when preaching is sent forward and the anointing is riding every word of the sermon, and when the word hits your heart, it has a way of turning that stony heart into a heart of flesh. Somebody here ought to be thankful that God anoints his word. Somebody here ought to be thankful that God has power in his word. Somebody can be a witness that you didn't intend to get saved, but you messed around and came to church and you heard a preacher say one Friday he died and they put him in a borrowed tomb, but early Sunday morning he got up and something went all over you and something got all on the inside of you, and before you know it, you was on your feet, you were clapping your hand, and when the invitation was extended, you came running down the aisle hollering, "What must I do to be saved?" There's power and anointing in preaching. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of it, because it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and to the Gentile." He preached under the anointing of God. But then he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus went about doing good. Let me kind of give you a little bit of his resume. He turned water to wine. That's good. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. That's good. He healed a sick man. That's good. He cleansed a leper. That's good. Healed the centurion's servant. That's good. Healed a paralyzed man. That's good. Healed a man with a withered hand. That's good. Healed a woman who had an internal bleeding for 12 years. That's good. 12-year-old girl had messed around and slept away. Jairus had fetched him, and Jesus went to his house, called her, and brought her back to life. That's good. The delayed is coming to Lazarus' homegoing celebration. Had been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus said, "Show me where you laid him." Went to the grave of Lazarus and had to call Lazarus by name, because if he would have just said, "Get up," everybody in the cemetery would have got up that day. But he said, "Lazarus, call Lazarus by name," and Lazarus stumbled out of the grave with grave clothes on. That's good. Fed 5,000 men, not including their wives and children, with two small brims and 5 little tea cakes. That's good. But listen, he went about doing good. He healed a woman who had an infirmity for 18 years. That's good. But one Friday, he went to a hill called Calvary. And he gave his hands to the nails. Gave his back to the cross. Gave his head to the crown of thorns. Gave his feet to the rivet. Gave his spirit to his Father. Dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders and he died. But thanks be to God, he got up Sunday morning. That's good. But he hadn't stopped doing good yet. Because he woke us up this morning. Started us on our way. Put clapping in our hands. Put joy in our heart. Put peace in our mind. Put bread on our table. Put clothes on our back. Put a strut in our step. Put a praise in our mouth. Ain't God good? Let me hear you say, yeah! He went about doing good. But not only did he heal of sickness, but he delivered from demon possession. He healed a girl possessed with a demon. He healed a mute man possessed with a demon. He healed and delivered. But Peter also said that God was with him. So Jesus was able to say, me and my Father are one. So he was with the Father, and the Father was with him. So when you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. That's what he said to Thomas. He said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. But listen, as I get ready to go to my seat, there's a mandate of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42 and 43, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that this Jesus is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and dead. And all of the prophets had to prophesy about him, that through his name, everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ, he commissioned us. He commanded us. He says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. But not only does he commission us to go, but he conditioned us to go, because he gives us his authority. For Jesus has been appointed by God as judge of all the people, both the living and the dead. So Peter is preaching by the authority of Jesus Christ. But not only is Christ commissioned us, not only do we have the authority of Christ, but we are ordained of Christ, because he tells us that we are to go and tell the world what he has done. For what he has done is send his Son into the world. He had already determined what he would do to save man from his sins. So he had already worked it out. And so what he has allowed to happen in the earth is what has already taken place in eternity. He wants us to tell the gospel story to everyone that we come into contact with. And when we tell the story about Jesus and his life, his life and his death and his resurrection, the power of God will accompany the word. And that's all I came to tell you, that when we preach Jesus, Jesus is able to pick you up and turn your life around and plant your feet stand on solid ground. I don't care what your situation may be, what your present predicament may be, but God is able to turn it around. And that's what God wanted Peter to say to Cornelius and all that was in his house, that if you believe on Jesus, God will save you. You don't have to be a Jew. You can be a Gentile with faith in Jesus, and God will save you. The word save means deliverance. It means to set free. I thank God for deliverance, and I thank God for setting me free. Is there anybody in the room? Thank God for deliverance. You thank God for setting you free. The Bible says when Peter stood up and preached, that the Holy Ghost fell in that house. And when preaching and the Holy Ghost get together, there will be a change taking place. It was just a few chapters earlier where Peter had witnessed in his preaching the power of the Holy Spirit. When Peter stood up in the upper room, the Bible says that the Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and they began to speak in different tongues. In other words, God could take their language and give them a unified utterance so everybody could hear the gospel in his own native tongue. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. I want to leave you by telling you that the same Spirit got in the upper room, came into the house of Cornelius, and it lit on the people, and they began to speak with different tongues. Ain't God all right? I thank God for the Spirit. I thank God for the Word of God. When you preach and you preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God can change somebody's life. Bring the drug dealer, let him hear the preaching under the Spirit of God. Bring the prostitute, bring the homemonger, bring the gambler, bring the adulteress and the adulterer. God is able to reach that person by the preaching of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you one thing this morning as I go to my seat. Won't the Word reach your heart? And won't the Word change your life? If you know it will, why don't you stand on your feet and turn to somebody and say, thank God for the Word. I thank God that I heard one Friday he died. He was put in a borrowed tomb. But thanks be to God, that's not the end of the story. Because early Sunday morning, he got out of that grave with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Power to change you, power to hold you, power to keep you, power to save you. Let me ask you one question this morning. Ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah. He is Lord of all. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. Peter preached.
Oh, yeah. Preach, preach.
And the Spirit of God came into that place. And the Gentiles receive salvation. I'm thankful that God does not play favorites, but God's word, his gospel, is to everyone. To everyone. Somebody here today may be saying, well, I'm beyond the reach of God. And I'm here to tell you that's so untrue. God can save from the uttermost. He can reach you.
If you have to reach way down, his gospel is to everyone. The same gospel that saved me, saved some of you, is the same gospel that's able to save the most wayward of person. But when the gospel is preached, you must believe. You must deposit your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you can be saved if you believe in your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died for your sins. God raised him up. And confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I didn't have to see his nail-scarred hands and his spear-scarred side. I believe. In the 16th section Baptist Church, when the preacher stood and said, Jesus Christ loves you, and he loved you enough to die for you, I went running. I want to be saved. That's what Cornelius felt that day when Peter came into the house and preached Jesus. Not just Cornelius, but those that were in the house with him. And I just believe somebody here today needs to be saved. You've been wrestling with your salvation. You've been questioning your salvation. You're not sure. The Lord was to call you home today. You don't know if you'll go to heaven or hell. I know. You said, well, I was baptized, but just external. What about the internal? Lord, I want to know I'm saved. If that's you, come. The Lord is able to save you today. Secondly, if you're here and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come today. We will receive you into the family. Share with you the word of God. We'll grow together unto that great day where the Lord will crack the eastern sky and rapture all of us who are saved unto himself to escort us back into the presence of his Father. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home, come. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, as the music plays softly, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come today. If you're not saved, come. Receive the Lord's salvation. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come on. Thirdly, if you're here and you need to be restored, come on. Does everyone have a communion cup? And those who are watching virtually, please get your crackers and your juice. So we can take it together as we honor the Lord. And the great sacrifice he has made. The Bible says that Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room for to eat of the Passover meal before he would go and suffer. He took bread, gave thanks unto God, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take heed in remembrance of me." Bible says after they supped together, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Take, drink." Listen, it's wonderful to honor the Lord and to remember the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he died in our place for our good. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and right close. Father, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. We thank you for your message, Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That we have the message. We know the ministry. But then, Father, we are mandated to go from this place and to spread your word with people who are in darkness, who need to be brought to the marvelous light. Prepare us, Lord, as people are praying to be saved, that as you send us hither and thither, Lord, with the gospel message, Lord, we pray for your prevenient grace, that you will go before us and prick the hearts of your people. Jesus said, "None will come unto him except you draw them first." So, Lord, we thank you for the worship. We thank you for your word. Now, Father, we pray and ask your blessings upon all under the sound of my voice, both in person and virtual. We ask you, Lord, to keep them in your care. Protect them, Lord, in this season of pandemic, this time of chaos and COVID-19. We ask you to be with the bereaved. Give them your comfort. Give them your joy in their sorrow. Lord, be with those that are in need. Be God who supply all their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Be with the homeless. Be with families. Lord, as we approach Christmas Day, Lord, I pray that we will be mindful of what it's about. That it's not about the tangibles we give, but Father, it's about life that you have given unto us through your Son. The greatest gift ever given. The greatest gift that keeps on giving. Now, Father, bless the givers. We thank you for their generosity and their spirit, their concern and compassion for others. Now may your grace, your peace, joy and love, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit allow it to rest, rule and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen. Amen. Brother Jesse is coming.